should have said that before I turned it on.
It doesn't say.
After I turned it on.
This says less stewardship over the holidays, so.
Yeah, or something.
That's all, but it doesn't, yeah. It's a lesson step with some of it.
Yeah, they may be reviewing what they've been talking about in the classes or something, yeah, in the circles. So, because that's been the thing. All right, we're in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. If you look at that, he talks about obedience, right? As you've always obeyed, but now how much more? Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, if you first read that, you might think, well, I've got to work out my... It's talking about working out my salvation, like it depends on works. And that's not at all what it's saying. Okay? What it's saying is work out to... it's work out to the end. In other words, continue on with... And don't quit, is the idea. All right? And I think the fear and trembling isn't fear and trembling like you're afraid of God, but it's a fear and trembling that you'll disappoint God because he's done so much for you, okay? And so you're afraid that you'll let him down, okay? But it's not like, okay, I gotta do right or he's gonna get me, okay? It's not that kind of thing. So sometimes people read that and you can tell that that's what that means if you look at the very next verse. Okay, of it, because it says what? For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Okay? So, basically what he's saying is what? We need to be obedient so that what? God can work in us. See, and when we're obedient to God and we surrender to God, then God can work in us to carry out his purpose in our lives and we'll be who he created us to be. All right, so does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you have to be careful because sometimes people read that. Work out your fear. Work out my salvation. I got to work. I got to do this. I got to do that so that God won't send me to hell. Okay, well, that's not at all what it's talking about. All right, so I want you to understand what he's talking about there. And he's going to do the work in us. Okay, I can't change me. God can change me if I let him, but I can't change me. Okay, but he works. He will work on us, and he'll change us, and he'll make us who he wants us to be, and we'll honor him if we are obedient, if we're submissive to him. Okay. All right. Verse 14. I found out that I only have till December 17th, so December 24th and December 31st won't have the class, so I have to get through Philippians by the 17th, okay? So, I got it planned out how I'll get through, but okay, so I'm letting you know that, okay?
Speed teaching.
Okay, well, it's probably a little quicker than I would like to, but... If you think about it, you can do a whole book in a lesson, you can do a chapter in a lesson, you can do a verse in a lesson, you can do whatever. So, and no matter how fast or how slow you go, you always think, well, there could be more. Okay? So it's just kind of how you do it, whatever. And so we'll do it a little faster than I was planning, but not... I think hopefully you'll get the basic gist of it all. Alright? Okay? In verse 14, we're being obedient and God's working in us, right? So, because of that, in verse 14, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. All right, he says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Okay? We live in a world where that seems to be, I've got a right to complain about whatever I want to complain about, argue about, you know, whatever. We live now. That's our right. If you listen to people who criticize, whether it's the football game, you criticize the coach, or the baseball game, you know, you know how to run the team. Of course, the fact that the coach is with the players every day and knows who they are, you know, he might know something you don't know, but and he's done it for his life, but of course, you know better. You know, but we live in a world that's critical of everybody and everything, and they're always looking for stuff. And well, that didn't go. That's not the way I think it should be. The way I should do it, or whatever kind of thing. But if you look in the Old Testament, anytime if you look at Leviticus 16, you have Korah, Dathan, and Abiram didn't like how Moses was running things, and so they. They rebelled. God opened up the ground and swallowed them and closed them up. And also sent fire and burned up 250 priests. Okay? Because they were complaining and murmuring about the leaders. Okay? Later, when they were murmuring and complaining, he sent fiery serpents to bite them and kill them. Okay, because he didn't like murmuring. But basically, if I'm murmuring and complaining, I'm basically saying, God, you're not doing what I think you ought to be doing. You know, you're not doing things right. You know, because God's going to take it. He gives us life and He works out things. Instead, Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So if I'm busy giving thanks, all circumstances aren't pleasant, are they? No. So, but if I'm giving thanks, then I'm what? I'm looking for the good. I'm not looking for the bad. I'm looking for the good. All right. And so it's a matter of being, of not being looking critical. In Matthew 7, when he said, "What? Judge not, lest you be judged." Is he talking about all judgment? No. He's talking about what? Being critical, looking, trying to find fault. Okay? And we live it, like again, we live in a nation that, as he described it, in this crooked generation, okay? Things haven't changed, folks, because we have a sinful world. Alright? So we think it's unique now that we've never been in a time like this. Right? Okay? But truth is, this is always man's situation. Always society's problem. Always what's going on. Okay? So, you have and I like how what he points out here, see, is if I'm giving thanks, have you ever noticed if you feel like you've been treated worse than you deserve, you're not happy. But if you feel like you've been treated better than you deserve, you're pretty happy. And the truth is, God always treats us better than we deserve. Okay? So, if we understand it, if I have a grateful heart, if I'm glad, I've got gratitude for all that God does for me, and if you think about all God does for you, you woke up this morning and you could see and hear and walk and talk, things you could give most of any amount of money to get it back if you lost it, and God gives it to you every day, and not because we deserve it, but just because He wants to give it to us. So we have so much to be thankful for, especially when we live in this country. And yet people grumble, you know, and complain. And God doesn't like that, okay? And so, but if you'll notice, He says, if you're that way, if you're not grumbling and complaining, what? Then you'll what? Shine like stars in the sky? Hey, okay? So basically what? You're shining like stars in the sky. It's like comparison. The star what? Sticks out, right? Because it's what? Different than the background. Right? The background is dark. And the star gives light. Right? And so that's what he's saying. If you live in this world and you're not a complainer and you're not a murmurer, you're what? You're going to be different than the world, aren't you? You're going to stand out like, hey, this guy is different, or this woman's different. You know, they don't complain. They don't go around complaining and murmuring. Okay, they seem to be happy. What's the matter? What's going on with that? Okay, they're thankful. What's going on with that? You know, that's a contrast to the world. Okay, and so that's what he's saying here. If we're murmuring, if we're complaining about stuff and all that, what? We're no different than the world. That's what they're doing. Okay, so he said we're supposed to be different. We shouldn't be going around grumbling and complaining about stuff. Okay? Be thankful for what God gives us. Okay, one of the things I like about, I'm on the planning committee at His Way, and one of the things I like about it is always when we go into the meeting, we're always looking for how can we make this better. We're not looking at what's the matter with this. We don't say, well, we're not doing this good, or we're not doing that good, or we're not doing this. We're saying, how can we make whatever we're doing better? Because I've been there 16 years now, and I remember when we started. And of course, Tom didn't know what he was doing because he'd never done it before. And you know, you're just kind of going as you go and try to learn how to do it better and better and better and better. And it gets better, and it's a lot better now than it was then. But it wasn't, then they were doing what? Best they knew how. Okay, but we didn't. So, what's the matter with you? What's the matter with that? How can we make this better? And so we keep trying to make things better. Okay, but do you see the difference in attitude? It's not, what's the matter with this? What? You know, we're not, you know, okay, we're looking to what? Just make things better. Okay, isn't that what we do in our life? I want to be better than I am. Okay? So how can I be better than I am? Not, what's the matter with me? I don't do this and I don't do that and whatever, but how can I be better? How can I do better? Okay? So it's a totally different attitude. Okay? From that. All right? He says, if they do this, what? If they're obedient and they do these things, they're not murmuring and complaining, then what? Then Paul says what? I'll be able to boast about them on the day of Christ. What's that?
When Jesus comes.
Judgment day, okay? When he comes again. That didn't run our labor. In other words, he'd what? He invested himself in them, trying to help them to what? Become Christians and grow as Christians. And so he says, I don't want to have wasted my time with you. Okay. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering, and this is a reference in the Old Testament, they had drink offerings. Okay. He was on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith. He's offering what? What's he doing all this for? All this, his life and service and whatever, going through all that. It was what? To help people believe in Christ. Okay, that's why he's in prison. That's why he's whatever. That's why he's doing what he's doing, so that people can come to God. All right. So he said, even if I'm sacrificed, that I'm glad and rejoice with all of you, and so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. What? Because we're all working what? To build each other up in the faith, so that we what? We'll be ready on the day of when Christ comes. We'll be ready. We'll be glad to see you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what he's talking about here. Okay? Any thoughts or questions about that? Okay, verse 19, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope therefore to send him as soon as I can, as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. Okay? So he's sending Timothy. Why is he sending Timothy? So you can find out how they're doing, okay? So I'll be what? Cheered when I receive news about you. He's expecting to receive what kind of news?
Good news.
Okay? He's talking about joy. He's talking about, good news. And he talks about, I have no one else like him. Paul, he came with Paul to Philippi. Paul has sent him to places. He's been with him at Philippi. He was also with him in Corinth. Okay? He was somewhere else with him. I've got it in my notes somewhere, I think, here. But I know he was... Paul sent Timothy to Thessalonica. That's 1 Thessalonians 3:26. To Corinth. That's 1 Corinthians 4:17 and 16, 10, and 11. And to Philippi, verse 19. Okay? So why did he send Timothy? Because he trusted Timothy. Alright? But you see, now think about this. You're getting a letter, and he's writing about you. What would that do for Timothy?
Build him up.
Okay? He's got some really good things to say about him. And he talks about what? Timothy's what? Doesn't look out for his own interests. He's there to what? Serve. Okay? So now, how will they receive? How would the Philippians then look at Timothy and see? In a very good way, right? Okay? And Paul looks at Timothy like what? Like a son? Mm-hmm. And he served and worked with him. And so Paul would like to come to them also, but he's not sure when. Since he's in prison, he's not quite in control of that, is he? All right, he doesn't get to go whenever, just anytime he wants to. Okay. All right, verse 25. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. Interesting descriptions. What? My brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. Okay, all those good things. Okay, so he's building up who? Epaphroditus, right? Who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. Remember, who's supporting Paul? Who's the only congregation that's been supporting Paul? The Philippians, right? Well, how did Paul get his support? Somebody had to bring it, right? So they sent their support with Epaphroditus. Okay, so he came to do that. Whom you sent to take care of my needs, for he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Now, did Paul have miraculous gifts?
Yes.
Yes, he did. Could he have healed him? Yes, he could. Did he heal him? No indication that he did. How come? Because the gifts were only used to help people, convince people about Christ. They weren't just used for people just because, he's sick, let's use it on him. Okay? The gifts were only to promote faith in people who weren't Christians. Okay? That's why the gifts were given. Okay? They weren't given, or to build up, but they weren't given to when everybody would. If that was the case, then what? When they had all the gifts, there wouldn't be any Christians that would ever die, would they? Okay? But he wasn't concerned with that, was he? Okay? They're concerned with the gospel, not with whether people live or die. Now, it's natural he wanted him to live, right? And because he would have felt bad if he died coming to help him. All right? But that's not what it's about. In verse 28, we're in Philippians 2:28. Therefore, I am the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Okay, so he won't be worried about him, and they'll be glad to see him. So then welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him. Alright? Would that be a pretty encouraging thing for Epaphroditus and for them? Okay. So then welcoming him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. Because what? They weren't there. He was there. Okay, what do you think Paul wrote all this about Epaphroditus?
They don't know.
Well, see, if Paul sends them back to them, because he was so ill while he was there, they could have looked at it like, well, he failed. You know, to encourage him, to build him up, to do Paul, you know, all that kind of stuff. And Paul is saying, no, he didn't fail. He what? He risked his life. He did all these things. He helped me. He encouraged me. He brought the gifts from you. He did all that. So he's making it clear what? He did good. Okay? And you need to honor him. And you need to build him up. You see what Paul does with all these times? He's what? Building people up. Building people up. Giving value to people. Lift them up. He sees the good. He's whatever. We need that so much in our world. To build people up. To give people value. Okay? Instead of criticizing and murmuring and complaining and talking about all of bad stuff. Okay? Poor me. Poor my life. Poor whatever. Okay? That's not... Paul's in prison. He can say, poor me, right? But he's not saying, poor me. He's what? He's building people up. He's encouraging people. He's lifting them up. He's giving them perspective. See? Or is it, you think that might be what we're called to do? To build people up? To encourage people? To help people? Would that be what someone who is mature in Christ would do?
Sure.
Is not focused on what? Themselves? But what? Who can I help? Who can I do good to? Who can I build up? Who can I lift up? Kind of a good attitude? Okay?
A lot of people need that.
Yeah, in this world that we have, we need that kind of thing, don't we? And that's what I see. You know, the world is going to be tear you down, build, you know, whatever. But Christianity, Christ, if we're in Christ, if we're like Christ, we're going to build up. We're going to help. We're going to do good. Ephesians 2:10, what? Do good works which God prepared, you know, advance for you to do. What? We are to, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Okay, so I think about it this way. Every day when you wake up, who can I do good to today? You know, who can I help today? You know, because that's what you're put here for, right? To honor God by doing good. Helping people. So, find people, find situations. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your grandchildren. Maybe it's, you know, your neighbor. Maybe it's your coworker. Maybe it's whoever. You see, is there any people who have any problems that you could help? But also to help them what? Come to God? Bring them there? And so that's what he calls us to do. Is to be very different than the world. To shine like stars. Be very different than
yes.
The world. Okay? That dark background and the star is shining out, giving light. I think there's a lot of scripture about light. Okay? Jesus is the light. We're to give light. But we what? What does the moon do? It gives light, but how does it do it? It reflects light. Okay? It doesn't have any of its own. It reflects light. And so, rather than calling attention to ourselves, we should let people see God. See? And when people see, when you give love, then people see God, because God is love. And so that's the kind of life that he calls us to. All right. Chapter 3. Further, my brothers and sisters, by the way, this is a letter, right? When you have a letter, the letters have chapters? Okay. This never had chapters and verses, okay? Paul's just writing a letter, okay? We break it up and it makes it easy for us to find this reference or that reference. And that's why they've added verses and all that. But when this was written, weren't any chapters and there weren't any verses. There weren't any paragraphs. I don't know if there were paragraphs or not, but I don't know how they wrote them. But maybe there were, but certainly not chapters and verses, okay? Pray, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. 16 times in the book, he's talking about rejoicing, so he's positive. But now he's going to say something that's negative, all right? And I'm going to tell you why he does that, okay? It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you to encourage them. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. Okay, who's he talking about here? You know? The Judaizing teachers, okay? What were the Judaizing teachers trying to do? They were trying to impose the law of Moses on Christians, okay? Saying that what? For all Jews, what did you have to, what was required of all male Jews under the law?
Circumcision.
Okay? And so they were still wanting to do that on the Gentiles. Okay? But it wasn't, you know, that was part of the old law. That was not part of the new law. It's not part of Christianity. Right? So circumcision is not a bad thing. We do it at the hospitals because it's healthy. Okay? But it was a mark that God had Abraham do to mark his people. Okay, but that was part of that system. But it's not part of they were trying to make that a requirement for the Gentiles. All right, but what they were trying to do was impose the law. What? How could you be saved by the law? You had to keep it perfectly, right? You couldn't break it. Well, who could do that? Nobody. Okay. So you can't be saved by what? By works of the flesh. By doing good deeds. You know, there are a lot of people in the world who think, what? If I do more good than bad, I'll be okay. Uh-huh. Well, that don't work. If I'm driving from here to Birmingham and I'm speeding, and the policeman stops me and because I've broken the law, and he says, and I say to him, well, I'm a good husband, I'm a good father, I do many good things. What's he going to say? Who cares? Probably. But what he's going to say is, well, even if those things are true, what? I'm still guilty, aren't I? And so that's the way it is. If you break the law, it doesn't matter where you break it or what law you break, you've broken it. You're a lawbreaker. Okay? And that's all of us. Okay? And so the point of the gospel is what? You're saved by what? The blood of Christ. You're not saved by your works. All right? So, but if you have people teaching salvation by works, what's that going to do? Is that going to cause people, in Galatians, if you notice, he said, you've fallen from grace if you're dependent on the law. Okay? You can lose your soul because you're trying to work your way into heaven instead of depending on the blood of Christ and depending on God. Okay? So, Paul is always very severe when people get in the way of and lead people away from God, from salvation. You remember when Paul was trying to reach the proconsul and Elymas was trying to stop him. And he was, I don't remember whether he struck him blind or made him, he did something to him pretty bad. Why? Because he was trying to keep somebody from obeying the gospel, right? And he took that pretty serious, because that's his eternal reference. And so here he calls them dogs. Now, today that's a nice thing, but in those days, calling a dog, that was calling the lowest thing you could call them, okay? The dogs were not revered like they are today, okay? Where they're treated better than humans, okay? Dogs do not have souls, okay? Contrary to popular opinion, okay? Treat your dogs right. If you got an animal, treat them right, okay? But they don't have souls. They're not people, okay? But here, this dog is a vet. And then he makes another statement. He says, those mutilated, okay? This isn't the place I thought. I'm not sure if he does that. The other place, he says, I wish they'd go the whole way and mutilate themselves. Okay? I'm not sure if that's here or... but he calls them mutilators of the flesh. Okay? Here. They're depending on the law. So he's going to take their argument now, and he's going to show, well, if that's the basis of salvation, then I can claim that too. All right? And so he's going to make a comparison here. He says, if someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, which all male Jews were, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. What's special about the tribe of Benjamin?
Benjamin, they didn't turn against God. I think in Old Testament or something.
Right. When they had the divided kingdom, who did you have? You had the 10 northern tribes that what? Worshipped idols and went away from God. And you had what? Two tribes that remained loyal to God. It was Judah and Benjamin. Okay? So, that's why he's from Benjamin. Okay? So he's one of the what? Loyal ones who followed God and kept their genealogy and kept their race pure and kept all that. Okay, so he's one of the guys that would be lifted up as being really a good Jew. Okay, a good follower of the law. Okay, because they didn't go up to idols and all that kind of stuff. All right, they did, but not like the others. Okay, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Okay, he could speak what? Hebrew, which was the old language, the original. Okay, not Aramaic or not something else, but Hebrew. Okay, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. There was never more than 6,000 Pharisees at any one time. Okay, they were the strictest keepers of the law. Okay? The strictest followers of the law. Okay? And so that was what he was. Okay? As for zeal persecuting the church, which is what? Good Jews did. as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. In other words, he was keeping it as well as anybody. Okay? But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Where's Paul now? In prison. Is he claiming and hanging on to all that other stuff? He left that life, didn't he? Why did he leave that life? I consider them what? Garbage. All right? That I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, because what? He couldn't have it. Okay? Nobody could. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Okay? I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Okay, that's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? Okay, what is he putting his faith in? Christ? What is he willing to do for his faith? Whatever it takes, right? But suffering, suffering, because what? Did Christ suffer for him? So that he could be with God? Yeah. So why would it be unheard of for us to suffer for him? Okay, because then what? Feel like he was with him, okay? But he wants to what? Know Christ. He doesn't care about knowing all that what? Other stuff in the law. He wants to know Christ. Because that's the only basis for what? Salvation. Depending on Christ, what Christ did for us, not what we did for Christ. We couldn't save ourselves by keeping the law, by perfect obedience, because we don't do it. We can't do it. Okay? But only by what? Trusting God, trusting Him to save us at any point. Okay, now, are we grateful? Yes. Does He call us to live for Him? Yes. To live what? A life of love, a life honoring God. It's a different life. It's different than the world, isn't it? Okay? But it's not on the basis of what? I'm better than you because I keep the law better than you. I keep the rules. I follow the rules better than you. Okay? It's not looking down on people because, well, you're not as good as me. You don't follow things the way I do. You don't, you know, kind of stuff. Or, well, you don't have the background I've got. Okay? And all that man-made kind of stuff. All religions in the world, all the other religions in the world, major religions in the world, all have you have to somehow attain to whatever deity they're trying to get to. You have to work your way and you have to be good enough. You have to be whatever to get there. Christianity is the only one where God comes to us and does for us and saves us, not we go to Him. Okay? So it's totally different. Everyone else, see, if man makes up something, then it's what? Only the best. Only the smartest. Only the, you know, it's based on intelligence. Well, I'm smarter than you. I'm better than you. You know, I'm whatever than you. Okay? It's like a competition. But in Christ, it's what?
Lowest.
I'm not good. Okay. God is good and He does all this for me even though I don't deserve it. Okay? And so salvation is you can't be saved by good works and you can't stay saved by good works. We are saved by the blood of Christ and we stay saved by the blood of Christ. That's the only way. Okay? Because all of us sin. Even as Christians. Okay? And so our salvation isn't on our perfect obedience. Let's see, do you have to be smart enough? Do you have to understand everything in the Bible to be saved? Okay? Do you have to be, you know, good enough? Do you have to keep it perfectly? Well, who does that? Nobody. Okay, so if that was the basis for it, we all would be lost. So it's all about that. And Paul understands that. So he wants to know Christ because what? He wants to be like Christ. How can you be like somebody if you don't know what they're like? Okay? He wants to know all about Christ. How did he deal with this? How did he deal with people? How was he? Okay? If I'm going to be like him, I want to know what he's like. Okay? How am I going to do that if I don't know? Okay? Does that make sense? So that's what he's talking about here. All right. Any questions about that part? All right. We went from 12 to 12. Okay. Chapter 2, 12. Next week we'll be at chapter 3, 12. Okay. I had no idea where I would get today. I had some idea. Not exactly. Okay? So we'll finish chapter 3. We've got 3 weeks left. So we'll finish chapter 3 and probably next week and maybe get into 4 a little bit. 4 has got a lot of good stuff in it. I mean, a lot of good stuff. So we'll spend some time talking about it, about relying on God, about being content. No, like none of us have any problem with that, but we'll talk about it anyway. Okay? All right, thank y'all for being here.
Thank you.
So.